Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 to 19. Jacob's dream at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the weeds sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared." The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, God of Christ.
We are again reading a farming story. Last Sunday, we looked at the parable of the sower. Today, we turn to the parable of the weeds and the wheat. The weeds and the wheat. Why did Jesus teach in parables? Why these short stories? Parables lead us from the known to the unknown. They are familiar experiences to teach the deep truths of God's kingdom. God's kingdom and the values and the truths are not that visible, not that known. So Jesus is teaching from what is known to the unknown. So the topic that I have taken for us this morning is God's presence in an imperfect world. We read this parable. The Son of Man sows good seed. During the night, the enemy comes and sows weeds among the wheat. As the plants grow, the servants notice both wheat and weeds together. They want to pull out the weeds immediately, but the master says, "No, if you pull up the weeds now, you may uproot the wheat as well. Let both grow together until the harvest. At harvest, they will be separated. Wait until the harvest." A simple parable. The message is already given. Jesus already explained the meaning of the parable. But I thought I will bring three simple points from this parable. Number one, God is sovereign over evil. Evil is there everywhere. Weeds are there everywhere. Satan is real. His work is real. God remains sovereign. That's my first point. The second point is God faithfully preserves his people. He takes care of his people. He faithfully preserves his people. Finally, we will look at what is our response. God calls us to faithful, calls us to be faithful followers or faithful perseverance. That's our three topic. Evil exists. Satan is active. He tries to hinder God's work. Last week in the parable of the sower, we saw the different kinds of soil, thanks to Martin and Chris, who have set up the service very beautifully. Different types of soil, and one of the soils had thorny ground. So when the good seed grew, the thorns grew up and choked. That we read. But in this parable, it's very clear that the enemy deliberately plants weeds. Satan intentionally works against God's kingdom. His goal, I don't think he is able to destroy the seed that is sown. He is not able to steal the seed that is sown, but he does something to deliberately stop its growth. He deliberately does something to stop maturing. So his intention is very clear. He wants to create confusion, distraction, and discouragement to prevent producing fruit. But we must remember one important truth. Satan is a defeated enemy. He is defeated. God is sovereign over evil. Jesus defeated him on the cross. His final judgment is certain. Until then, he has only a limited time. Knowing his end is near, he works hard to oppose God's work and lead as many people astray as possible. It is like what German troops did at the end of World War II. As the defeated German army retreated from Russia, they destroyed bridges, buildings, and everything they could along the way. They know that they lost the battle. They have to simply come back to their own country. But while they were coming, they were simply destroying all the establishments, the structures. Satan does exactly. He has got only a limited time. During this limited time, he wants to bring as much damage as possible. He lost the battle. And he has been given only little time. During this time, he is active. The weeds are difficult to recognize when it sprout out. Weeds and the wheat look alike. So when they grow together, they look alike. So the workers are not able to go and pull up the bad ones because they don't know which is the bad, which is the right. When they grow further, they realized that these are all weeds and these are all wheat. Now, pulling them up at this stage is very difficult because the roots of the weeds intertwined with the roots of the wheat, and if you pull up, then you will also pull up the good ones. God is concerned about the good ones, and therefore the master said, don't pull up the weeds. Are we able to find out the good ones from the bad ones? We also have to remember the parable of the goat and the sheep. Goat and the sheep. What is that parable all about? Will I be able to recognize the difference between goat and sheep? I don't think I will be able to recognize, but farmers, probably shepherds, will be able to recognize the difference between those two. I still remember this. During my seminary days, we students ran the dining hall. So every month, 5 members from the student body are selected to run the dining hall. It's a bit of a hard work because we had to go and buy vegetables and groceries, and also we had to see that the kitchen functions normally. 120, 130 students were eating at that time, and I was always there in the committee. Now, the seminary finance department will give us money to the committee. Each student is this much, and therefore you had to run the dining hall with that amount. So very tight budget, but we managed. But what each committee will do is that they try to save money. Towards the end of the month, probably the last day of the month, they give a big feast because they saved the money over the month and they give a big feast. And lamb meat is a rare one for us because it's the costliest meat at that time. Probably that's the case now. So during one of such times, we decided to give the last day the lamb meat. So we went to the butcher shop and we talked and we negotiated and we got a good price So I was very surprised. Oh, we have got a good price. But what had happened, he mixed both lamb meat and the goat meat. Goat meat is cheaper and the lamb meat is costly. He mixed it and we did not know about it. We served it. Everybody was happy. Only a few students came to us and said, they cheated you. They gave you goat meat. Hardly anyone recognized. Only a few could recognize it. We don't know which is good, which is wheat, which is weed. Only at the last, Jesus will, in his coming, separate this. God is sovereign. He is still active. He remains sovereign over evil. The second point is, God faithfully preserves his people. Does the master ignore the wheat? The weeds are everywhere. Everywhere we see weeds. So how can these wheat produce wheat? Does he ignore it? No, not at all. He is concerned about, for his crop. He wants his seed to grow and bear fruit. Now, in our Old Testament reading, Jacob had a dream. Very interesting one. He is running away from home. He is alone. He is helpless. Whether he would be able to come back, we don't know. Whether he would be able to reach the destination, we don't know. He doesn't know. So he is traveling without any kind of direction, without any kind of protection. And he had a beautiful, wonderful dream on that night. The dream is very simple. He saw a stairway to heaven. Angels were ascending and descending on him. Now, two things comes very powerfully out of that dream. One is a stairway. Heaven is far from the earth. There needs to be a link. There needs to be a stairway to go to heaven. That idea comes very powerfully. And another idea is, now he got up and he realized that God is with me. God is here in this place. And therefore, he named that place Bethel, the gateway to heaven. God's presence is here on this place. Jesus used the same expression in John's gospel. While talking to Nathanael, he said, Nathanael was very surprised, how could you find me on the tree's shadow? So Jesus said in John's gospel, chapter 1, verse 51, I think, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The same expression, but something is missing. What is missing here? The stairway. The ladder is missing. Now, because Jesus has come, because he is with his people, heaven and earth came side by side. The link is removed. God is with us. His presence is with us. He is mindful of his people. Another thing is, Jacob felt that that is the only place he could experience the presence of God. That is the dream that kept him alive and kept him active all through his life. So that dream was a very important dream. He could finish the task well. But here in this, in our time, in New Testament time, God is with us. This is the question the Samaritan woman raised to Jesus. we want to worship God here in this mount, Mount Gerasim, but you people are saying that we have to go to Jerusalem to worship at Jerusalem temple. Jesus corrected her, and Jesus said, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. You don't need to go to a particular place to experience the presence of God. No, God is with us, and God is spirit, and his spirit is moving among us. Wherever you are, you worship God. Now, he is active in this world. He is working with us. Darkness may be seen, weeds may be seen, but he is active. In the midst of darkness, his light is shining. In the midst of the weeds, his wheat is growing. Are we worried about the weeds that are growing? C.S. Lewis gives us two warnings. He says we Christians are something like this. Some of us, we deny the presence of evil in this world. We deny the existence of Satan. Some of us, we do that. And he says that don't do that. And he also warns us, saying that do not spend all your time thinking about Satan. He's there. He's still doing his work of destruction. But remember God, who is at work. Let us not be worried about him whose work is active. Let us continue the good work that he has called us. Some verses from the Old Testament in Zechariah 2 verse 8. Whoever touches you, touches the apple of my eye. And even Isaiah, he says, see, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God is saying through prophet Isaiah. So God knows you. God is with you. The good work that he has started in you, he will make sure that it comes to good completion. So do the work. We are in an imperfect world for sure, but his presence is with us. Now we come to the final point. God calls his people to faithful perseverance. God is sovereign over evil. God faithfully preserves his people. So what should our response be? Should we spend our time trying to identify the weeds? Should we try to pull up the weeds? Or should we expose the weeds? I don't think so. That's the call is not given to us. That is not our job. That is the job of our Lord when he comes in his second coming. He will do the separation. He will put the weed into the fire. Very clear expression. Fire, the gnashing of teeth and the fire. Mention of hell. So he says that at the end it will be taken care, but as of now, my job is not to pull out. My job is not to expose. My job is to continue the good work. That is not our responsibility of pulling it out. Now, what should I do? Satan continues to sow seeds of anger, hatred, envy, fear, bitterness, and discouragement. But we are called to sow different seeds. The seeds of love, kindness, mercy, hope, forgiveness, and peace. He continues to sow the seed of hatredness, but we are continually sowing the seed of love. Now I'll finish with this illustration. If you are having young children, growing up children, like what I mean, 10 months old, 12 months old, or 1 or 2 years old, what do these children do at home? They pull out things, right? They spread all their toys all around the house. They keep the cupboards open. They pull things down. What do you do with your children? Do you go and beat them? You sow patience with them. Since they spread it all, since they make it a mess, you don't sit silent. You go and put everything back in order. After some time, they are going to still make the place a mess. But you go and still try to put things in order. They are going through a time of developmental phase, and you show kindness. Now, I'm not saying that children are Satan. I'm not saying that children are devil. I'm not saying that. But Satan is meant to do that kind of a disorder in this world. But God has placed us. God has given us this beautiful task. Let him do whatever he wants. But he has given this beautiful task. Go and sow the seed of love and peace and forgiveness. May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen.